Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
You said you were rolling, you weren't rolling.
Rolling, 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 rolling.
Come on!
Never in the wrong time or wrong place, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Bet365. West Ham are against Manchester United. Fulham are in action and Man City.
Marcus ran out of time on the intro music and I noticed it.
Yeah.
And Man City are in action too.
Yay!
Yes.
Were you put off by Jim and I doing a bit of Limp Bizkit?
I was a little bit.
I have to say. And the intro music, I think Pete's nipped out a second just to test me.
Yeah, you reckon?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Is that what we're going for?
I would disagree with that purely because I've never known Pete to voluntarily take on Labour. So it might just be...
Or any of the political parties.
Yeah. But it might just be you slowing down in your old age.
Yeah.
Oh, Gordon Bennett, it's happening on the pitch and now off it. Bloody Nora.
And on the mics.
I'll tell you something, though. West Ham, eh?
Yeah.
West Ham, they were in the Carabao Cup this week. They nearly went 1-0 down, but they responded well.
Yeah, they did all right, didn't they? Bounced back, yeah. It's fair to say.
Against League Two opposition.
It's almost like they're playing the worst team in the football league. Yeah.
And they put them to the sword.
Yeah. You can only beat what's put in front of you, people occasionally say.
And then you can just keep beating it into submission over and over again.
Yeah,
absolutely right. Yeah, so 8-0. Have some of that. Their biggest win since 1983.
Yes.
That'll keep the punters happy.
35 years ago.
Until, potentially, they play Manchester United very, very soon. But they've shown signs of improvement, West Ham, after a terrible start. And that loss against Wolves, where they were quite derided, we had a little pop at them as well.
I would say that their beating of Everton and their very creditable draw against Chelsea, which we didn't actually talk about on Monday, were more indicative of their improvement than beating a Macclesfield team who are poor. Mm. I mean, they're the worst team in the Football League. So of course, you can only beat what's put in front of you. And you don't want to have a difficult night at the office against that type of team.
But to hold Chelsea, to keep a clean sheet against Chelsea. And, I mean, Yarmolenko was it who should have scored?
He should have. I don't want to divert too much from that. Just very, very quickly, because we didn't mention it on Monday. Mm. Did you see that record that Jorginho broke?
The passing record.
180 passes in one game, which is basically... A pass every 30 seconds, if you assume that the ball's in play all the time, which it isn't.
It's Leon Britton-esque.
It is. It's Leon. He's in Leon Britton's league right now. It's incredible.
You're getting a lot of the ball, aren't you?
But anyway,
you really don't want to keep hold of it.
Man United had a very difficult time at the office last night, which maybe we'll come on to.
Which office?
So West Ham will... mostly Edward Wood's office.
Yeah.
But we'll come on to that. West Ham play them, of course. And I was really pleased with the performance of Grady Dianjana, who looks a fantastic talent.
Mm. It was his debut, wasn't it, for the
every time
side.
He had the ball in my head, it was, I like the way you move.
Is that right?
Yeah, because I like the way he moves. Well, he takes up good positions.
And I'll tell you something, Luke, it's interesting to say that, because he says that he styles his game on Ronaldinho, hopefully just on the pitch.
The pitch too, for our sake.
I'm intrigued by that.
Yeah, okay, fair
enough. Intrigued by that when players say that, because does that just mean that I used to pretend to be Ronaldinho in the playground? Like you pretend to be a player.
Who
when
did
you're
you
a
used
kid?
To pretend
Ian
to be?
Wright.
Did you, yeah?
Peter Beardsley.
Yeah? What about you guys?
Sadly enough, it's difficult to say. Paul Walsh, probably, or Guy Whittingham, maybe.
Whittingham, he's knocking him in, money.
All of the legends.
What about you,
me?
Marcus?
All
did it reveal anything?
Richard.
Yeah, Richard Keys. Start my game on.
Well, you managed the hair bit anyway.
Marcus is sat on the playground bench with a little pretend stick for a microphone, turned to be Richard Keys in a terrible, bright yellow, ill-fitting jacket.
Hair shirt. All right, have you had the opposite of laser surgery when people have the hair
removed? All right, Jim.
Jim, you have to take it too far, don't you?
Sorry.
Indeed,
yeah.
Don't have a go at his hair.
Don't have a go. There's a lot of
it's
it.
Just the hair on his hands.
And it's staying there, so don't worry. Sorry. Unless it brushes past you. Yes, West Ham. I mean, yeah, so he modelled his game on Ronaldinho. He got a couple of goals. And with Declan Rice in the side, you think to yourself, hey, come on. We talked on Monday about young English talents. We want to bloody see them.
Yeah.
For crying out loud.
Rice and ham together at last.
Yeah. There's a new dish being served down there. A
bit of controversy around Declan Rice, of course, who's a great young talent and played more than a handful of games for West Ham now and looked very good doing so in the top flight. Danny Murphy was on the radio the other day, wasn't he, saying that it's unbelievable that Declan Rice hasn't got a new contract yet.
Oh, West Ham weren't happy with that.
They weren't, because they said that there's some sort of link between Danny Murphy and Declan Rice sharing an agent or something like that. Ooh. In the past. The real story here, I mean, I don't know what West Ham have got to complain about there personally, but the real story here is that West Ham want to pay Declan Rice, I think, $15,000 a week or something, plus performance bonuses, and Declan Rice and his representative want nearer $30,000 a week, and that's the problem. Of course, these days in football, that starts getting public. Bigger clubs are going to be sniffing around. Yeah. So.
That's a squad rotation fee, isn't it? Squad rotation amount of money, isn't it? 30 grand. That's someone who'd sit on the bench for
clubs. At the Premier League level, I mean, yeah, it's not unheard of. But
are you saying the least of West Ham's admin troubles is Danny Murphy?
Yeah. I have to try and unpack that question. What I am saying is, how about I tell you what I am saying?
Yeah, okay, right.
That they've just settled on this situation, where they've settled on the formation where they have an extra man in midfield, it works for them, they're showing some improvement in their performances, and in typical West Ham style, based on what we all agreed at the start of the season, the best thing that West Ham's ownership can do is just do their job properly and keep quiet. Mm-hmm.
And there lies all of a sudden,
their most promising young player is now in the subject of public contract negotiations, which is the last thing they want. That said, they're only playing Man United this weekend, so that might be all right.
Well, I mean, the 8-0 win, obviously it's not indicative of how they're going to be in the Premier League, but it is a huge boost, and it's one of those nights people will remember at the stadium. And as we've said before, about whenever anyone moves into a new stadium, you know it's important to create those memories and
really good
point. Begin that bond. And I think they might get something this weekend, especially having drawn with Chelsea, a lot of confidence. When West Ham's fans are behind their team, they are a huge, huge asset. And there's no reason they shouldn't be at the moment.
Yeah, very much so. Well,
it's sort of third home game in a row as well, Jim, this weekend, which give them a chance to build up some momentum as well,
Right enough. And talking to these young players, there's nothing like a young player coming through the academy to give the home side or to give the club a little bit of a
lift. Especially as their whole identity is having a bit of a crisis, isn't it? Like their new stadium and
seems
stuff
to be,
like
doesn't
that.
It? Yeah.
I think in recent times, Peter.
If anything that can kind of anchor themselves to East London, galvanise the team.
Yes. Well, they're 3-1 to beat Man United with Bet365 this weekend. £10 returns, £40, including stake.
Yes, Man United beaten at home on penalties by Frank Lampard's Derby County. What a penalty shootout.
Mm. The
lot of quality.
It
was ridiculous.
Yeah, Mason Mount stepped up.
Yeah.
My boy.
The old man.
Yeah. It's like, do English players just think, yeah, we're good at penalties now?
Phil Jones.
I was going to say. there's an exception to that rule, I think, in that shootout. I mean, Mourinho said, I knew we were in trouble when we had to rely on Phil Jones and Eric Bailly.
Yeah, I've been telling you that for ages.
I was like, but Bailly didn't even take one, did he?
He didn't even mean the penalty shootout.
Yeah. There's no need to have a pop.
Yeah, absolutely. It's like you're saying, well, if Phil had scored, Eric would only have missed. We never stood a chance.
I find it extraordinary.
You know what I found really touching about that game was that...
Harry Wilson's free kick.
Oh, that was unbelievable. I mean, they've got what a great combination of youth and experience Derby have got. They're definitely a team to watch this season, if people don't realise already. I'm sure they do. It was really good TV for me. I just enjoyed it personally to see how proud Frank Lampard was of his team. It's almost like he couldn't articulate how proud he was. His chest was swelling full of pride, saying it's up there with one of his best ever memories in football.
Yeah, he's loving management.
And I think I completely understand why, because he would have had a lot of experience of going and playing at places at Old Trafford, and he would have had some success, and he would have sometimes fallen short. And of course, in this game, he was up against his old manager, and really a mentor, a manager who took his career onto to another level entirely. And they've won on penalties, so they've sneaked it really on paper. But for large parts of that game, Derby controlled the game. Mm-hmm. And for a team in the Championship, in Frank Lampard's first job, to go and do that, I can see absolutely why he's so proud of them for doing that, because those young players excelled themselves. Mount again, Wilson, as you mentioned, one or two others, just fantastic performance.
Jim, you mentioned about West Ham fans remembering those kind of nights. Well, Derby County fans will remember that. winning at Old Trafford in the couple of penalties.
And, I mean, it does feel like very quickly Frank Lampard's winning mentality has transferred into that team. You can see that they play with a sort of with a real zest and a real belief in themselves. And I think that comes from having a figure like Lampard there, who not only, you know, has that reputation, but he carries himself so well, and he always has done. And he's always made
apart
it clear
from that time
that
he got sent off recently.
Who? Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, I
well,
never that
passion, isn't it? Passion.
But generally, he does carry himself.
There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, Diego Simeone does that all the time, and no one says he's not a good manager.
But he doesn't carry himself that well sometimes.
But he's a great manager.
Do you remember when he ran on the pitch after the Champions League?
I'm not going to forget that. Okay.
No.
but you look at the exact same fixture last season in the FA Cup, where Man United beat Derby quite, you know, quite tidily, quite easily 2-0. Like, Frank Lampard's already improved on that in the exact same fixture.
And I know that we can be very critical of Man United, and they do seem a little bit rudderless, and all this stuff with Mourinho and Pogba, of course, and this, that and the other. There is also like an element where I think that's a £300 million team and they're chucking on Fellaini and they're getting nod downs and Fellaini's causing havoc in the box, and that's getting them a last minute draw in the League Cup against a Championship team. And you just think, even if they put a good performance together, they never, under Mourinho at the moment, they never feel too far away from a bad performance. They're not doing a Chelsea run or a Liverpool run in the league or Man City. They just seem, as I said on Monday, they just seem miles away. They've got some good young players. I really like the look of Dalot, by the way, who they've picked up. He looks like he delivered the cross for the Fellaini goal, of course, and he looks like he's got great delivery and he's only young. You do fear for United, though, by their own high standards.
They've got a great academy. They've got great facilities. There's no reason why they shouldn't be bringing players through. But it's
Scott McTominay, player of the year, mate.
But the problem is, when they get to the first team, they've got a reckon with bloody Jose Mourinho, who doesn't bring players on.
What's really interesting as well, the price tag thing that you mentioned there, Luke, I find really interesting, because, you know, however much that team cost, it almost looks like Mourinho doesn't see it that way. Like, he doesn't value them. Like, he just doesn't think they're that good. There's loads of players in that squad he doesn't trust, clearly doesn't like on a personal level in some cases. So he's not allowing them to play an elite style of football because he doesn't believe they've got it in them. And that must be so disheartening if you are one of those players. I mean, Paul Pogba keeps, you know, sort of shooting off in the press without actually doing it and having these very Mourinho-style digs at his manager. And it's becoming this sort of very undignified battle.
They need to make... I know that's difficult for them because of the transfer window. But they need to make a decision about what they're going to do with Paul Pogba as soon as possible, because it's a no player should be bigger than the club, and Mourinho always wants to be the biggest personality at the club he manages. And for better or worse, and you can have your own opinions on how good Pogba is. I saw Jamie Carragher the other day, it might have been yesterday actually, saying that he doesn't think Pogba was worth the trouble. That's his opinion. I understand people who say that. Pogba's got a great track record of winning things. He's a World Cup winner. Obviously, he was amazing at Juventus among all those other good players. If that sideshow is threatening to consume their season, they have to make a decision. Yeah. It's not going to go down as the worst decision in history, whatever goes on after it, if they sell Paul Pogba. He's not going to be the first great player to not get on with the manager and not work.
And especially, it's very stark, his form for his national team. It's stark, the form, as you said, at Juventus with a lot of other great players around him. People can see the difference, whether that's Jose Mourinho's fault, whether that's just, you know, Paul Pogba just not pulling his weight's fault. I happen to think it's possibly a little bit of both. But if Jose Mourinho has to leave because of Paul Pogba, you can only bring in one or two managers who have a bigger reputation than Jose Mourinho in the game. And it's going to be someone like Zidane, who, you know...
He was spotted in London the other day.
He was.
Photograph and everything.
Was he hanging out with you, Marcus?
He was hanging out a red telephone box.
Yeah. Which I've seen you do. Yeah.
Well,
for perhaps different reasons.
Let's put out that putting up little posters.
Taking down little posters.
I know, and I know you put them up, Pete. And I wish you wouldn't use that photo.
Have sex with a Sasquatch. Yeah. What?
Right,
move on.
That's enough.
You know what?
Move on.
Okay. Looking at the bigger picture, of course, all this Pogba Mourinho stuff has upset Dimitar Berbatov. Football should be about what happens on the pitch, not who has the biggest dick.
Can't we? Why not both?
Yeah, I mean,
that's what I wrote on the poster.
It's an alternative to penalties.
Yeah.
Measure off at the end of the game. Yeah.
Phil Jones has got a chance. He's a tall man.
You can just imagine the manager walking off going, it's a lottery.
Hang on a minute.
It's chat roulette.
Have they brought Dion Dublin out of retirement? Unbelievable. I did a little poll hilariously on Twitter. Who should be the next second captain at Manchester United? A whopping 76%. For Scott McTominay,
obviously, yeah. The only logical choice.
Well, exactly, I mean, the choice was Scott McTominay or Luke Shaw. So it was Scott McTominay. Yeah, so the people have spoken. They've spoken. McTominay means McTominay.
McTominay was an unused substitute against Derby. So if you're going to do that, Mourinho, if you're going to play games with a talent of that quality, don't be surprised if it bites you.
We haven't touched on the vice captaincy being taken away from Pogba as well.
Do we need to?
It's just another.
I mean, it's
part of the soap opera, isn't it?
It's all very part of the soap opera.
That training ground video is brilliant, though. Yeah. Pogba's face is unbelievable.
I beg your pardon.
Yeah. Was Berbatov filming it? Yeah. Shall we go to the other half of Manchester? Mm. Manchester City versus Brighton. Phil Foden starred in Man City's win against Oxford United. Carl Robinson compared him... Oxford United boss Carl Robinson compared him to Andres Iniesta. Guardiola said about Foden, "My dream is for him to stay 10 years. And if Phil stays for 10 years, he can, in the next decade, play regularly. And after that, I don't know what is going to happen with him."
It's a weird thing to say.
He's a fizzy-headed weirdo, isn't he, Guardiola? So he's probably caught in one of his post-match reveries.
Indeed, yeah. I did think there was
a pop at Ryan Bertrand or whoever it was.
No, it was Nathan Redmond. It was Redmond.
I think we all want to see Foden start, but I mean, it is up to you, Mr. Guardiola.
You're very much in the driving seat with that one. I like the fact
we got
so many complaints that we didn't talk about Man City enough when they, you know, beat teams 5-0, 4-0,
6-1. Don't worry, the next one's just around the corner.
Well, he can have the Oxford one. We can chat about you when you beat Oxford.
They gubbed them.
I didn't see it because I was watching the United game.
Of course you were.
Yeah.
You keep doing this to yourself.
I know, I keep watching Man United.
No, that was the much better game to watch.
There's so much peril, so much at stake.
I keep thinking something's going to happen every time I watch them at the moment.
Fine, it did, didn't it?
Yeah, it did.
Watching Phil Jones at the moment is like watching fine art. It's like, God, what does it mean?
It's more like modern art, I'd say.
No, it's more like watching a really good clown, isn't it?
Yeah.
This is a great clown.
I can't see for the life of me. I mean, for a player who's got X amount of England caps and how many Man United appearances we worked out earlier, almost 200. For me, he's not a Man United quality player. Well, but it seems mad to say that.
He is at the moment.
Because he's played almost 200 times for them. Yeah, so what do I know? Yeah.
But Manchester City, that loss to Lyon in the Champions League seems a bit of an anomaly so far in the season. Because aside from that, it's been pretty much a continuation of last year, hasn't it? And do you think they're better than they were last season? I mean, it was early days, but you think of the people that they've...
points-wise, no. In the league, in the Champions League.
Well, they haven't played as many games, of course,
in
the league so far.
Have they reached 100? Worse.
No.
Definitely worse.
Well short.
Yeah, indeed.
They're 84 points off last year's total.
Or something like that.
Try and make that one up.
That's a big swing. Yeah, it is a big swing.
Let's not go back to the penalty thing again.
It is hard to say, isn't it? But they only signed Riyad Mahrez, didn't they? But he looks like he's just hit the ground running for them. Now he's got a few sort of appearances under his belt. I think is it three goals from now? Like, he just looks like the same player from Leicester. He doesn't look out of place at all. He's playing in that exact style, and that's going to be a real asset for them as well. And if you've got players like Foden coming through, this is probably why they didn't sign many players. They've just augmented what they have, and as we know, what they have is absolutely incredible. So it was really exciting to see Foden. The ball he played through to Mahrez
for
his goal was superb. Although he had a lot to do, Mahrez, and he just controlled it so beautifully. I think they're going to be a sort of artisan's dream yet again.
I know what you mean. I think that with Manchester City, you know, they're at home to Brighton. You'd expect them to win sort of 3-4-5, wouldn't you? Whereas some other side, we'll talk about Liverpool and Chelsea in the second half. I just think Manchester City, especially when they're at home against some of the lesser sides, well, even when they're away, I mean, look at what they did with Cardiff. It's going to take an awful lot to stop them. But you never know. I mean, Wolves did get a point off them.
Not at their place, though. And Brighton away from home are a poor side.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
Well, they are with Brighton. I did think about this, because apart from that win against Manchester United, which was at home, and they had decent comebacks against Fulham and Southampton, but Fulham and Southampton are not brilliant. And I think they were definitely at home against Fulham. Were they at home against Southampton?
No, they're away.
Oh, were they away?
They drew two games in a row. One was home, one was away.
Right, okay, fair enough. I mean, at home, I think with Brighton, with the stadium and all, and the fans getting behind them, they could have that sort of cauldron-like atmosphere, and there's play on, heart on the sleeve kind of stuff, and be a bit swashbuckling. Whereas away from home, I do worry.
We're just in a situation with this type of fixture where if a team like Brighton are going to get anything out of a game away at Man City, it has to be one of those almost lightning strike events where everything has to go right for them. They have to, Man City have to miss a hatful of chances. and Brighton have to stay so compact and work so hard that they might just nick something.
I think the pressure's off for teams like that because it is a free hit for them because they are playing Man City. But also Cardiff, Huddersfield, they're all but down for me for the way they played or certainly started the season. You're only looking at one space between about, you know, five or six really dreadful teams are going to be vying for that one. And I don't think Brighton is in that particular
But then, to be fair, to Newcastle, they only lost 2-1. And I know we talk about Benitez setting up defensively in game management and so on. So
I think you could argue, though, that...
It took a great goal from Kyle Walker.
Sure, but Benitez is one of the best managers in the world at doing that.
Yes.
I mean, it's easily forgotten just the pedigree of Rafa Benitez as a manager mm-hmm. because, with all due respect, he's at Newcastle and people don't outside of this country won't necessarily probably follow what he's doing very much.
Chris Hughton was also there.
He's not. Chris Hughton isn't the level of Benitez as a manager. But you look at Man City last time out, they went to Cardiff and they won 5-0. And it took them, I think, half an hour or so to score. All too often, it feels like these days, that you say what I just said there about Brighton, they need to just everything needs to go right for them. 5-6 minutes in, Man City score. You feel like I don't know if it's true or not, but you feel like the game's over.
At that point. I know what you mean.
They're set up to keep Man City out. They're not set up to score. Yeah. So as soon as they go a goal down, it's very hard for them to adjust. Over 3.5 goals is 4-5 in this one with Bet365. So £10 returns £18, including stake. I fear for Brighton in this game. Can't see how they're going to get anything out of it, but I'd bloody love to see it happen because it'll be a bit out of the ordinary, and that's what we're all about.
That's what we're all about. Speaking of which, it's now time for emails with Petey.
Time for emails.
Again. Oh, no, not the beast! Not the beast! Ah!
You've got mail.
Oh, I've got mail. Oliver Platt says hello. Good day, boys, actually. Did he want his... No, we're good. We're fine. love this show and the rest of it. I don't know what the rest of it is. Here's a great story. Here's a great story about... Have you heard about this alleged footballer, Nelly Yoa, from Down Under and his incredible career?
No, I haven't. No.
Go on.
Earlier this year, Big Nell made the front page of a major Australian newspaper after writing an opinion piece regarding Sudanese gang violence in Melbourne, Australia. He even made it onto the television and was introduced by Sky News as a professional athlete and an aspiring socceroo. In his article and on TV, Nelly spoke about his incredible career as a footballer. This included promising trials at QPR and Chelsea, a stint at A-League club Melbourne City, and a season playing Aussie Rules football for arguably the biggest club in Australia, Collingwood. Nelly even went as far to say that if it wasn't for a machete attack in 2014, he would have been in contention for a call-up at the 2014 World Cup. Off the field, Nelly claims to be sponsored by Nike and Mercedes-Benz and a brand ambassador for American Express. He also says he's best mates with Usain Bolt. Problem is, none of this is true.
Yeah. It's too far.
Exactly. Every club he mentioned has denied having any records of him involved in their organisation. The sort of lie you could get away with in the 80s, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, not now. People keep records.
The Brazilian footballer.
Exactly. Right. Even Usain Bolt's PR team denied any connections to the great man. Images used by Yoa on his Instagram are either clearly from stadium tours during the during the obligatory fake press conference and contract signing, or just photos of different players. This includes a video of his, or rather Samuel Eto'o's goal against Arsenal.
He's not even picked an obscure one.
Imagine.
Find one from like the lower league. He gets an amazing goal in the lower league. He's picked Samuel Eto'o, arguably in the top five most famous African footballers ever.
Yeah. And an image of Nelly, aka Islam for us, talking to Mourinho, learning from the best. Various Aussie news outlets use his images and words until work out that Nelly was an absolute fake. However, he's still at it. Just last Monday, Nelly was spotted at the AFL award night for best player, the Aussie Roos Ballon d'Or.
Did he win
suited
it?
Suited and booted. He got in by hiding in a toilet, apparently. Yoa still maintains that his career speaks for itself.
Yeah, so, I agree.
Yeah.
He got his 15 minutes, as Oliver makes the point. It's a wonderful story, and long may his career continue, so to speak.
His favourite podcast is the Football Ramble.
That's what I've heard, yeah.
I think employers expect you to exaggerate a little bit on your CV.
Yeah, massively.
Yeah. Maybe not that much.
This is from Adam. Hello, Adam. Sitting here at work in sunny Leicester, listening to your Tuesday show, the Vardy revelations, the Yateses and Lloyd's chat. Couldn't be closer to the truth if you tried. A few years ago, I was studying at DMU, the great...
Pete, you're one of their alumnus.
My alumnus. I didn't graduate.
Library fines.
Yeah. I was drinking at one of the local student pubs on a Saturday night. I noticed a friend of mine I played weekend football with playing pool with a couple of chaps. I went over to catch up with my pal and upon greeting him, realised he was with lesser players, Luke Moore and Jamie Vardy.
Hang on.
Luke Moore.
So he said Yates's and Weatherspoons, we couldn't be further from the truth. And the furthest thing from the truth is a student bar.
Mm. Yeah.
No, I said closer to the truth.
Oh, closer to the truth. Yeah. Well, yeah. Spot on.
What Leicester players is he with?
Luke Moore and Jamie Vardy.
Lovely.
Who's Luke Moore?
You know Luke
Moore.
Surely
the footballer, Luke Moore.
Oh, no. This must have been going back a while.
It's a long time. Well, let me continue. To cut a long story short, I abandoned my then girlfriend. She had friends in the pub, but it was probably fine. At the time, to begin a bar crawl with Vardy and the lads. Vodka Revolution was indeed the first bar we ascended. It's at the
there
bottom of New York. It's a great
choice.
I mean,
he was obviously with Liam Moore, not Luke Moore.
Okay, carry on.
I'm Luke Moore. All right. Hang on.
Is this guy mates with Nelly or whatever?
Do you hear the little clacking of the keyboard,
eh?
Had a little check. All right. All right, Leon Moore. Luke Moore could have played for Leicester back in the day.
Liam Moore.
Yeah. All right, well, Liam Moore. This
is another... That's a guy at me for doing his research.
Apparently, Blue Wicked is not his drink of choice. He's more of a Desperado man.
So yeah, that's equally as bad, though.
Yeah. Well, there we go. So just letting you know what his tipple of choice is.
The reason that was a good piece of content from us on Monday, yes, I say content, hashtag content, because we all knew it was true. Yeah. We all knew it was going to be true.
Yeah.
And I'm disappointed he didn't take his own packet of Skittles to the pub.
Well, we don't know that he didn't.
They have true. Well, Vodka Revolution have their pre-skittled vodka. They have different flavour vodka, so you don't need to flavour your own vodka.
There you go.
Unless you're at home.
Yeah. Shortthefootballramble.com if you want to get in touch.
There we are. Right, after the break, we'll talk about Chelsea, Liverpool and Everton and Fulham. See you in a moment.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody. Oh, Chelsea versus Liverpool is happening this weekend. So soon after the last one.
Thigh rubber of the weekend?
I'd say so.
Tea time treat.
Well, of course, we know that Chelsea can beat Liverpool.
Because they did it.
Because
yesterday.
They did it very, very recently.
Because we've seen it, yeah.
Eden Hazard got one of the goals of our times.
Can I put something out there that you guys to comment on? And hopefully you won't judge me for this, and listeners at home won't judge it either.
You get in the England squad?
With Hazard... He seems to be able to go up to a next level gear whenever he wants.
Yeah, I know what you
but
mean.
He doesn't seem to do it all the time. And I can't work out why.
Yeah, I know what you mean. He's got a real burst of pace and power.
Yeah, power.
That goal's a perfect example of it. And I think Jamie Carragher made the point as well in the commentary last night. He said something along the lines of, you know, he's never seen a player who does so many successful back heels. Like the flicks and tricks always seem to come off. He's just got so much power in those legs as well that he does have that burst. And you know, sometimes it's just like he's going to force the ball into the net. But I know what you mean. It feels like...
Well, yeah, I would be interested if Chelsea fans who love him, obviously, and you know some people will say he's one of the best ever players, if not the best. I wonder if there's an element of the Chelsea support that just get a bit frustrated because they think, why isn't he doing this so often? Because it wasn't that long ago where people were saying if Hazard was a bit more consistent... He'd be in Messi or Ronaldo and be in their sort of category. And then recently we've seen Kylian Mbappe perhaps move up towards that sort of bracket. Mm-hmm. You know, hilariously at the expense of Neymar, but that's like a different story. But people who know loads more about football than us seem to think that Hazard's got the ability to do that.
Well, Ross Barkley was waxing lyrical after the match about him. And Gianfranco Zola said that Sarri could make Hazard an even better player and help him reach his potential.
But isn't that...
I mean, he used the word potential, which seems...
Is that consistency that elevates a player of mercurial talent? You know, there's probably not that much difference between a player like Hatem Ben Arfa, who's been talked about a lot this week, and those kind of level players. But it's five matches off, one match on for him. Hazard, that's way higher, obviously, but he's not quite there.
And the insight we got from that, when I talked to Matt Taylor at Ramble Meets, and he said he couldn't tell you how many people were more talented than him that didn't become professional footballers, because he said that... What I think what people tend to think is that if you're talented enough, you'll always make it. But actually, for the vast majority of players, unless you're a George Best or whatever, you have to work really, really hard.
It's Neville versus Neville.
And some people either don't have the natural athletic ability to compete at the top level, because a lot of it's down to how naturally fit you are as well and your capacity. And also the mental toughness, the dedication, the hard work, the commitment, all that kind of stuff does come into play. And that's clearly a problem with people like Ben Arthur. I mean, Adel Tarat's another one.
Oh, yeah.
Just really talented, but never quite there. Now, of course, we're not saying Hazard's in that category, but there must be a reason why he's not quite at that very top bracket.
Do you think with Hazard, he's always linked with moves away. He's always linked with Real Madrid in the summer and all this kind of stuff. And he never always fully commits with his words, does he? So it was like, well, you know, we'll see. And then in the end, he ends up there. Do you think for him, he's kind of, there is an element maybe of him thinking, you know, I play for Chelsea, but I'll move to Real Madrid one day. I'll get that move and then I'll really turn it on. You never know with the mind of a professional footballer. It's very difficult, of course, if you don't know, if you've never played the game.
Could part of it also be, though, that Chelsea are a bit of a chaotic team at times in terms of how often they change managers and the different styles that those managers
attempt
to adapt?
He gets a lot of the ball in every match, though, and defenders do tend to sort of back off him because he's a quick player and they don't want to get defeated by pace or him just knocking the ball past him. So they do sort of stay off him. So he does have enough room to do stuff. So I don't understand why he goes missing. I saw him at Newcastle at the back end of the season. Kind of anonymous for a lot of a couple of tricks, a couple of back heels, but other than that,
I wonder with Hazard. I think that I would suggest that's it. That he is a bit like, I know I'm the best player here, probably, or one of them, and so on. And he wants to move to ultimately a Real Madrid or something and be surrounded by
a couple of months ago, he said after six, what was it? I can't remember the exact quote, but it was something like after six wonderful years at Chelsea, it might be time to try something different.
That's what I mean. Yeah,
and that was obviously all bracketed in the idea that they're going to be a Europa League team this season. And that was one that people were wondering whether Hazard would accept that. But yeah, I mean, clearly he's going to be sticking around for a wee while at least.
You would think so. Talking of managers and Chelsea and all the rest of it, Sarri's obviously come in. And Jurgen Klopp was talking up Chelsea before the cup match, and he said that Chelsea should be considered title contenders. And since Sarri has come in, he said it's the biggest change in style in such a short period of time he's seen in football, I suppose, so successfully, you would argue. And it's true, Chelsea have been brilliant this season.
They've really gone under the radar because the chat has always all been about Liverpool, Man City.
And that'll suit Chelsea.
On the radio a while back, we did a preview of the season. Everything was about Liverpool, Man City. No one was really talking about Chelsea. People were wondering what was going to happen with Sarri. And of course, he started well. But Marcus, I think it was you, said a week or so ago that they've not actually been fully tested yet. I mean, apart from with respect to Jim, it was an opening game of the season against Arsenal, wasn't it? And that's always a bit tricky.
Yeah. Well, but, a bit of a test at Liverpool. I know it's
it is, but not enough has been made of the fact that Liverpool were very close to winning this game. And they made, I think, if you're going to be generous, you could say they made eight changes. Their entire back five was different. None of those back five who played against Chelsea would start in Liverpool's strongest team. Fabinho doesn't start on their strongest team at the moment. Sturridge and Shaqiri. So you've got a big change. And they came quite close to winning the game. They were 10 minutes away, I think, or so, and they were 1-0 up. So it will be a different story at the weekend. And it's going to be at Stamford Bridge, of course, but I'm not suggesting that Liverpool will turn them over, but it will be a different game. They're 7-4 second favourites now, Liverpool, to win the Premier League. So people are still thinking Man City and Liverpool are out there. £10 with Bet365 returns £27.50, including stakes, should they lift the title.
Are you concerned that if Chelsea do get to cup finals, they go far in competitions, you know, in these sort of big games when they're kind of league title deciders, that Sarri won't change his outfit? He will still wear that sort of baggy tracksuit.
I thought you were going to say formation, because he might ever change that.
No. I'm not worried about the formation. It's working.
I'm surprised at his, you know, you kind of, with managers from that, you know, that part of Europe, you sort of think a classy kind of Armani suits and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Just not.
Do you know what needs to happen?
They do love a tracksuit, though, down in Naples.
Yeah, but they do actually. But as
authentically
bare,
Neapolitan, actually.
As a bare minimum, someone needs to get hold of his clothes and
burn them.
No, wash them on a hot wash to shrink them.
Oh, yeah, shrink them.
That's what I mean. He doesn't wear the tracksuit, obviously, as well as Antonio Conte. No.
He's like a man who's got sunburns. So he wears clothes way too big for him. He's like, I don't want it near my skin.
He's an artist. He's not, you know, he's not the same as other football managers. And I'm telling you, I'm looking forward to reading his novel. because he's working so hard on it on the touchline.
Do you think he should be allowed to chew a cigarette butt on the telly?
That's weird, isn't it? Yeah, it's weird. If he was smoking a cigarette, that would be unacceptable. Chewing it is somehow okay.
That is weird.
I don't really understand.
He's found a loophole there, I think.
Yeah. If he properly chewed it, like he just puts it in his mouth.
It's weird.
And sucks it through the filter.
I find it tough to look at.
Yeah, but at least he could borrow a toothbrush from that guy from Stamford Bridge.
Could do. Exactly.
It's always an option, Jim.
Minty.
Everton host Fulham on the weekend. Jordan Pickford signed a 6-year deal at Everton. Well done, Pickers.
Whee.
It's all going there.
So that's richly deserved, isn't it?
It's all going his way.
Usually.
It's all going his way.
That's Everton's defence for you.
Indeed it is, Jim. But what about further up the field for Everton? Theo Walcott recently spoke about Marco Silva being there and how he's enjoying playing under him. And he mentioned that he fell out of love with football for a bit. An undetermined period of time, we'll say.
He did say before it was a couple of years, I think.
Yeah, but he's back in love with the game, and I think Walcott's doing okay. Was it Charlie Nicholas or one of the pundits was saying that he should have gone to Southampton. He should have gone somewhere where he can play as a central striker. And I sort of think, the days of talking about Walcott as a central striker. Yes, he can fill in there, but really his position is.
Yeah, I mean Walcott himself. He made a lot of noises for a long time about how he wanted to play centrally. Then he tried it for a bit and with mixed results. It wasn't as bad as people make out, actually.
He surely scored more goals from further back, though.
He played more games from out there. But
I mean, he can play as a striker, but it's not his strongest position.
But he himself eventually said, you know what, actually, I am a wide player. This does suit me better. And he sort of accepted that now.
Thanks for that season and a half where you whinged about it constantly and mugged off your fans.
It's a ridiculous thing to say if it was Charlie Nicholas saying that, because you're going to... Fine, first of all...
I think it was Charlie.
Whoever it was. As long as it wasn't me, I don't care.
No,
find me a player that doesn't think Marco Silva is a brilliant coach. Yep. It's impossible. Every player you read about says they love working with him.
Yeah.
With respect, he's not going to learn anything back at Southampton. He came through there. He knows the club well. He's not going to learn anything under Mark Hughes. Mark Hughes isn't that type of manager.
Well, he went to Everton before Silva was there, but yeah, I know what you're saying.
But they're fine.
Yeah.
Okay, fine. So he signed for Allardyce. He's probably not going to learn anything under him either. But the position he's in at the moment, he's not going to go...
Well, he's enjoying himself.
And Marco Silva, in terms of what players' reputations of him are, everyone loves him.
And Silva as well, he likes to get goals from all angles and from his teams. And we talked about Everton not having a particularly brilliant centre-forward. He will look to Walcott as an outlet for goals. Walcott is off the mark this season. And I tell you what, Richarlison, you would imagine, will score a fair few.
And they've got
Actually,
yeah, we were saying recently, weren't we, replacing Lukaku is an impossible task for a team like Everton. But if they can get Richarlison, keeping his form up all season, he might be another bargain like that.
Yeah,
and I think they've got Everton fans and people who are involved in the club have got to be patient. They've got so many sort of young and youngish players. I mean, Michael Keane's had a good start to the season. He's only mid-20s for a centre-back. That's not that old. Richarlison's only 21.
Pickford's obviously young and they've got him now locked into a long term
John
contract.
Kenny, Mason Holgate, Tom Davis, who captained him the other day.
They've got some good
20
young
years old.
And some of their young players are playing.
Yeah.
Ademola Lookman, Calvert-Lewin. Kurt Zouma is only 23 or something.
Really?
It seems mad given he's been around for so long.
But Everton, they've only got 6 points from 6 matches. It is early days. But you would expect, surely, for them to kick on at some point, because we talk about there's no mid-table sides and so on. Everton this season, under Silva, with some of the players they had, I would almost go as far as to say if they don't have at least a sort of 10th place finish, you might think, opportunity missed for a decent season, top half finish.
And there are still question marks about Silva. I'll tell you what you like about how much the players love him, but he's not really proven himself to do an awful lot in England yet.
Mm-hmm.
I know he's done a lot overseas, and I think he's a great coach, and I think in time he'll be amazing. Mm. But he's still got to get some stuff under his belt, and Everton's a big enough club for him to do so.
How does he stop Mitrovic?
Well, Mitrovic is first to score. To score first is 7-1 with Bet365. So £10 that will return £80 including stake. Should he hit the net before anyone else? And you'd be a fool to doubt that man in the form he's in.
Absolutely right. I mean, despite Mitrovic, Fulham do have a little bit of a lack of resilience and shown to be a bit soft at the core, which is a lot of people will have seen. And I know, Luke, you've aired that as well. They managed to come back against Watford on the weekend when Watford really should have had the game won. And Watford, with Deeney and so on, I know they're big, strong lads and they put themselves about a bit, but they did bully Fulham. And if you're a Fulham fan, you would sort of be a bit concerned there. However, they did get a point.
Mm.
So I don't know with Fulham. I do sort of worry a little bit about that. But then, Pete, with Mitrovic up there, the battering ram.
where battering ram that needs a couple of shots before he...
Oh, for crying out loud.
Come on, don't turn I just
won't have you stealing my beautiful boy.
Well, I mean...
It's like you're gloating.
There was nothing stolen. It was very much offered a nice new home and he
took
it.
New boyfriend's texting me going, aha.
The selection against Watford in midfield was good because they had Seri, who could look after the ball, and he's quite tough. Mm-hmm. He's small, but he's quite tough. They picked McDonald, didn't they, as well? And a lot of that comes from the fact that Kearney's injured or whatever. And the Johansson as well, who's quite robust too.
So I think that he's identified that there. But still, though, the back line... Yeah. Need a bit more gelling, but they've
Watford
made it quite
robust and large.
I think every team
sort of look at that and go, well, that's just a completely different physicality from any other game we'll face this season because they are just big boys.
Yeah.
Big boys.
Big boys. Big boys in boots. Okay, then. Well, Luke, what is our best bet with Bet365?
Well, we need to start. The tension's high here.
Shall I put a bit of drone?
Yeah, the you can cut the atmosphere with a knife in this studio.
I'll tell you something, I've been looking forward to this.
Andy Duncan, going for his hat trick.
Go on, Andy.
He's been in touch. He says, hello again, chaps. Here we are, football. Bloody hell.
Yes!
Even though it'll prolong my nerves, I'm going to go for the Saturday evening kickoff at Stamford Bridge for my potential hat trick best bet.
Oh, Andy.
I know Liverpool have been uncharacteristically resolute in defence so far this season, keeping four clean sheets from a possible six in the league. I mean, you can take that back to sort of February time as well. But I think some of this has been down to the quality of opposition as much as it has been their improved back line. The intricate movement of Hazard, Pedro and Co will be by far the sternest test they will have faced to date, and I don't think they'll be able to stop Chelsea scoring.
This,
coupled with Liverpool's own attacking power, should hopefully make it a great game. This fixture normally yields goals and both teams have scored in 8 of the last 10 games.
Here we go.
Therefore, my best bet this week is for both teams to score with the added excitement of over 9 corners in the Chelsea.
Oh, Andy,
is that the
naughty
first
boy!
Corner-related bet
using,
we've had?
Using Bet365's Bet Builder feature, currently priced about 1.76-1 with Bet365. Fingers crossed. Cheers, Andy.
Tell you what.
Both teams to score over 9 corners in this thigh rubber of the weekend is indeed 1.76-1, meaning that should it come to pass, it'll return £138, including stake, for Prostate Cancer UK, where of course all proceeds go. You must be over the age of 18 to gamble and do gamble responsibly. For more information, begambleaware.org. Chaps, what do you think?
I'd say something.
I'm preparing the bit on the wall. Yeah, it's a good bet.
You like that?
First order of the Ramble Empire.
I like the idea of Ramble listeners all over the country, nay the world, keeping a tally on how many corners there are in every game on Saturday tea time for the chance for Andy Duncan to immortalise himself.
I'll tell you something, Andy. We are with you.
Yeah, we are with you.
Godspeed, brother.
And I don't know what happens once he gets 3. I suppose he moves on. He stays there.
I guess is that up to him?
I think he has to stay.
I think he has to stay.
Pick up as many as he can.
Would
it be Leicester City winning the league sort of level if he gets to 5, maybe?
I think if you get 3, then you've sort of won, and then the fourth and anything beyond that is like
a procession.
It's like a Harlem Globetrotters
reaching 100 points.
Yeah.
Okay.
There we go.
There we are.
Godspeed, Andy. We wish you all the best, my friend.
Oh my goodness! Now, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for Going for Glold.
It is time for Going for Glold.
As if the tension couldn't get any higher.
Are you going to whinge about how long the Going for Glold music is, Marcus?
Maybe.
No, play it. Play it. I love it.
Whinge. The time is right. It's time for you. For you to play the game. As people are coming, everyone's trying to be the best that they can. To reach for the sky, cause the stakes are so high. You knob.
It's the whole thing.
You knob. Look at his smug face.
I thought it sounded a bit different.
Yeah. He hasn't removed a second from this one, has he?
No.
People are just skipping this.
Yeah. No, they're not. I'm loving it. Long. That's
the He's dancing. All we need is a little more getting it right. You're damn right.
Stay in the fight. You missed the second bit.
This can't end quick enough for me. Oh, seriously, come on.
No. You wanted this, Marcus.
I didn't want it.
This is your own personal hell, and we are all enjoying it.
I wanted the opposite of it.
Now, you're getting the full 2 minutes.
Bloody Nora. How long left?
A minute.
A minute.
This is you. This is what you did. You did this to us all.
I'm enjoying it.
I'm not.
So.
Oh, here we go. Right.
It's time for you.
For you to play your game. People are coming. Everyone's trying to be the best that they can. To reach for the sky when stakes are so high. It's better be the bloody end of it. Going for
gold. Where's the gold?
Come on.
I've got to get the whole thing out.
Oh my god. Yes, what is this? Jim,
go for it. For gold.
This is some sort of extended edition. You little slut. I should point out Pete's wearing a Japan shirt.
I am.
Lord. Thank fuck for that.
The payoff at the end is brilliant. It's worth it. It was worth it.
Come at me, bro.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He put gold at the end. He did it all.
So.
There we go.
Is anyone still listening?
I'm happy. Carry on.
I mean, they've sat through a lot of football chat. Yeah. So if you can't enjoy that, you can't enjoy anything, in my humble opinion. Jimmy Clark! Thank you, Jimmy Clark.
Come on, Clarks.
Oh, I was born on Valentine's Day, 1983.
Valentine's Day, 1983. Okay.
Okay. That story checks out.
Ruminating it.
I started my professional career at Auxerre, where I was part of the squad which won the Coupe de France in 2005.
Coupe de France. Stop. Jean-Pierre Gignac. André-Pierre Gignac.
No.
Oh, that was going to be a controversy.
That was a lovely guess, though, Jim.
I won the Player of the Year for Auxerre in the 2006-2007 season, and I earned the nickname Monsieur Fiable.
Stop. Philippe Mexis.
Incorrect.
I think I know his, but I can't remember his name.
Monsieur Fiable.
Handsome guy.
Fiable.
Handsome
French.
Guy, eh?
Blonde?
Nah.
Stop. Johan Gorkhoff?
Yes, him!
Incorrect.
Oh.
Yeah, well done, Jim.
In over 200 appearances in English football, I've scored 4 goals.
Ooh.
Stop. Cloud Makélélé?
Incorrect.
No, he'd be older than that, wouldn't he?
No. I have won the Emirates Cup twice.
Oh. Jimbo, the pressure. Stop. Laurent Koscielny?
Incorrect.
Stop. Abu Diaby?
Incorrect. I have 65 caps for France and now ply my trade at Montreal Impact.
Stop. Willem Gallas?
Incorrect.
64 caps for France and played for Arsenal, Jim.
Not necessarily played for Arsenal. Won the Emirates Cup.
Oh, yeah. Cool, yeah. Could be a red herring, couldn't it?
It could be the googly.
Yeah.
I defied football purists throughout my career by wearing the number 3, even though I played at right back.
Well.
I mean, this wasn't worth the entire song.
Bakary Sagna?
It is Bakary Sagna! Congratulations, Jim!
Come on.
Boys, you had a head start.
Yeah.
Every time
Jim chimed in with an answer, I was like, oh, he's lost his guest for the round. Lovely old job.
Are we all on three now?
I think we're all on three. Yeah. Yeah, I'll check on the board outside in a minute.
The final clue was on New Year's Day 2011, I was stamped on by Birmingham City's Lee Bowyer. So there you go.
Nice present.
Never mind.
Welcome to the new year, pal.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen, for listening to the preview show sponsored by Bet365. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Yes.
Luke Moore, say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Pete Donaldson.
Bye.
Say goodbye, Jim Campbell.
Goodbye.
And we're all going for gold.
Bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.